had my first hot flash in the summer of 2022. I remember sitting on my couch, I was watching TV, and from deep inside, I had this intense wave of heat developing and flowing through my body, and it forced its way out of seemingly every pore of my body. Suddenly, my forehead was sweaty, and so was the top of my head, and my hair was clinging uncomfortably to my skin. I had sweat running down to the small of my back. And if you've ever experienced a hot flash, you know, of course, what came next. I had the urge to rip off my sweater, to climb into the fridge, to change my clothes. I was so uncomfortable in this moment, and all I wanted was for it to go away. And then it did after a few minutes, and then it turned after a while. Hi, I'm Ute, and I am the Gen X Lady. I also host a Through the Grapevine podcast, a show all about wine and elevating women in the wine industry. As of this recording, I am still 48, with my 49th birthday right around the corner. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, and I'm a grandma, and I live in Portland, Oregon with my husband, and we are blessed empty nesters. I work a full-time job as tasting room manager at a local winery. I'm also a kickboxing badass, a writer, a traveler, a searcher, and I am going, quote unquote, through the change. The change. What a way to name this time of my life that has literally turned everything upside down and made me a hot and bothered mess with mood swings. And I mean, bursts of anger and sadness, followed by like ridiculous happiness, especially when they play something from my generation on the radio. And even better if it's in German, like Nena 99 Red Balloons and the German version. Oh my gosh, that makes me super duper happy. Of course, I also have, you know, the sleepless nights, night sweats, weight gain, mysteriously thinning eyebrows. And I don't know about you, if that happens to you, my thyroid appears to be all right. And still I have these thinning eyebrows kind of like right at the ends, to where I now use an eyebrow pencil. So how's that for vulnerability? And I also have like this sense of feeling invisible, like I'm just not that interesting anymore to society. So the time before menopause, they actually call perimenopause. And apparently that phase can last up to 8 years. Lots and lots of the same symptoms as menopause, but you still get your periods. And then menopause itself can last another 8 years. So for some of us who are not so lucky, that could be 16 years of misery. Now, I know, of course, there are women out there who have very few symptoms, and I have been told by friends that menopause was barely noticed by them, which, wow. And all I can say is, you lucky ducks, because let me tell you, for the rest of us, this time in our lives is not a walk in the park. And sadly, the topic of menopause is still such a taboo topic that many women I have talked with don't even know about the myriad symptoms that can come with it, nor do they have an idea of how long it can take. And in many cases, they don't even know that there is, in fact, something that they can do about it. Now, why is that? Because it just doesn't get the kind of attention by scientists or the medical field or really anyone that it really deserves. Yes, I am sure someone out there will be yelling at me right now that all they ever hear anymore is women talking about menopause and complaining how they are being forgotten. And I am telling you right now, if we didn't, then nobody would. We have to literally speak up for ourselves, or nobody will. there's just not enough research done on menopause. And apparently over 80% of menopausal women are not getting any kind of treatment. 80%. Many report they feel misunderstood by their doctors and not educated by them. Now, again, I know there are women out there who are not interested in treatment, who are not interested in hormone replacement and whatnot. More power to you. I am not a doctor. I am not here to tell you what to do or not to do. I am here to talk about my experience. I am here to connect with other women. And if you're interested and if you want to learn a little something from someone who is just interested in the topic, then please tune in. If this is not interesting to you, I'm telling you right now, click the stop button and move on. Go somewhere else. You don't have to be here. The rest of you, thank you for being here. And maybe we can commiserate a little bit and I will take your suggestions and comments and all of that, but I'll talk about that later. So I am reading this book right now. It's really great. It's called Hot and Bothered, What No One Tells You About Menopause by Jancy Dunn. Here are a couple of quotes from the book. A 2013 survey found that fewer than one in five OBGYN residents received any formal menopause training at all. Not until 1993 were women and minorities federally mandated to be included in clinical trials. 1993! Can you let that sink in for a moment? We thought we had it all figured out in the 90s, and women weren't even included in clinical trials yet. Another quote. A 2019 survey of internal medicine and OBGYN residents found that only 6.8% felt adequately prepared to manage women experiencing menopause. 6.8% felt adequately prepared to manage women experiencing menopause. That is astonishing. At Yale, they did a study, this is also something I found in a book, that looked at insurance claim from 500,000 women. And you know what they found? 3/4 of the women who tried to get medical help for menopause symptoms did not get any treatment at all. Is there any surprise then that women are starting to really talk, to post on social media, to lament, to whine, to complain, to write about menopause? I think not. It's the 21st century. Let's talk. Let's get uncomfortable. Enter, of course, this podcast. I am a Gen X lady and I have things to say. I am not a doctor. I do not make recommendations. If you have any experiences, if you have any symptoms, please do see your doctor. I cannot stress this enough. I am not a doctor. So I considered briefly just writing a blog about my experiences, but I really do like recording podcast episodes. I'm having a lot of fun with that in my Through the Grapevine podcast, and it just feels more personal. Plus, I have so many more topics I want to talk about aside from menopause, its maddening symptoms, and how to navigate this time, of course. I want to talk about Bon Jovi and AC/DC and Guns N' Roses. Yes, yes, that's the kind of girl I am. I want to talk about foldable maps, about rotary phones, about walking everywhere when you missed the bus and couldn't find a phone booth to call anyone to pick you up. Nor would anyone really pick you up anyway because your parents were both at work. I want to talk about fashion, about being visible, about healthy living during this time, and about finally accepting and truly loving who we are, just the way we are. There's a school bus in front of my house as we speak, so I hope this is not showing up in the background noise. But if it is, just know it's a school bus. School is not quite out for us here yet. For the I guess, middle schoolers and elementary schoolers. I think it's the third week of June here for us in Oregon. To get back to the topic at hand. So where were we? Fashion, visibility, healthy living, about accepting, loving who we are, just the way we are. And I know this sounds cliche. Just love yourself the way you are, ha ha. But what if it's possible? What if you're really able to just love and accept and nurture your beautiful self? So I want to interview other women who are in the same boat as me. But I also really want to interview nutritionists. So I am a certified nutritional therapy practitioner myself, but I don't practice. I want to interview nutritionists who specialize in middle-aged women's diets. I want to speak with authors and doctors, and I want to speak to women who are adjusting to being empty nesters. Because let's face it, some of us are having a really rough time with this significant change when life suddenly is not about everyone else all the time, but about ourselves. I recently had a conversation with some friends, and we started talking about how, you know, as moms, we always did everything right for everyone else and never really worried so much about ourselves. I brought up these special meals that we did for my family, like, you know, birthday breakfasts or dinners. In my family, it has become a tradition to make crepes for a birthday breakfast. It has also become a tradition that I royally mess up the first crepe without fail every time. But it's still edible, of course. So I make all the crepes, I arrange them all, and I give the perfect ones to my family, to my kids, and I take the little messy one that nobody wants. Power to the underdog. I would make sure that our kids had the same amount of marshmallows and their hot chocolate, that they had the same amount of sprinkles. I packed them the exact same lunch. I would often take whatever was left. I ate their leftovers. I was always somehow an afterthought in my own way of thinking. My life revolved around my kids. It's just the truth. From homeschooling them, yes, we homeschooled, to driving them to their many, many activities and classes, to taking them on field trips, camping trips, the zoo, and other great places. Everything was always about my kids. Not that I didn't do anything for myself during those years. I did do the odd job here and there. I ran races. I climbed St. Helens. I became a CrossFitter, then a kickboxer. I wrote articles for publication. I did nutrition. I went back to school. So yes, I did all of that. But of course, a big part of my life was still about the kids. So when they started moving out one by one, things really changed for me. My son, he is the youngest of three, and I have two daughters and my son. And when he moved out last year, on the day he left, I walked into his room and I sat on his bed and I cried. This very room is now the office from which I record this podcast episode, by the way. Now, look, I am not a clingy mama bear. I'm really not. I can let go. As a matter of fact, I want them to be out in the world and become successful and happy adults. And I watch them in awe all the time. I want them to experience life. I have no interest in tying them to me. But is it so bad to admit to the pain and the loss you feel when your kids move out? Is it something to be ashamed of? I sometimes get the sense that a mom who grieves when her children leave is often judged, like so many times in a mom's life, right? And look down on. Look at the little lady, can't handle life without her babies. But come on! Women have been told to be the primary caretakers of their children for thousands of years. So we do. We nurture and we care. We make our lives about our children, and then one day they leave the nest and you have to fill a void. Your kids leave a void. It's just like going on a diet where you decide to cut out all the sugar. You have to replace your afternoon chocolate bar with something or go hungry, right? Well, anyway, it is up to you or to us as moms to fill the void, to fill our lives with meaning, to rediscover ourselves in some cases, and to figure out what and who we want to be and what we want to do with our lives. And no, my friends, it is not just about finding a hobby. This is literally what I've been told. Just go find a hobby. Oh, really? Well, if it was just about finding a hobby, we'd be good. You know? This is about more than just finding a hobby. And then, of course, on top of everything else, menopause hits. And just when you think you got a hang of life, this curveball knocks you on your butt. And menopause, my friends, is not coming on slowly. Yes, men, they transition. It is a slow process. Heck, they can father children until well into their 70s. For women, it's like someone flips a switch. Oh, you're done having kids? Let's take away all of your precious hormones that keep you young, healthy, and functioning all at once. There you go. Deal with it, you hot, sweaty mess. Sometimes you can't help but wonder if somewhere Mother Nature is sitting, watching in utter amusement as we try to navigate this phase in our lives with some dignity. And this is what we will be talking about on the Gen X Lady podcast. This and so many other topics that interest us. And I will take your suggestions and recommendations, like I said before. I will take your questions and attempt to answer them during an episode, and I have a feeling we're going to have a ton of fun with this thing. Also, shameless plug, did you know I also have an Etsy shop by the same name, The Gen X Lady? Yup. I sell hand-stamped custom bracelets, pendants, bookmarks, all of these things with sassy fun quotes. They are, of course, fully customizable, and we can totally wear our feelings on our sleeves, so to speak. So please go check it out and support a small business. I have a bunch of ready-to-ship items in there right now, and I am uploading more and more as time goes by, of course. Check the show notes for the link. So let's return for just a moment to the hot flashes. Because I'm sure you wonder what happened to mine. So initially, I was just going to ignore them. But at some point, I had them every few minutes. I'd go from like sweaty hot mess to freezing cold. Get rid of the comforter, off with the sweater. Wait, on with the sweater. Oh my gosh, I am so cold now. Give me that comforter. I'm cold. No, wait, here comes another one. I mean, it was maddening. Eventually, I was so over it that I finally ended up talking to my doctor, and she suggested a hormone patch. Very low dose estrogen patch that goes somewhere on my belly or butt. I change it twice a week, and what can I say, my friends? My hot flashes disappeared within a week. I feel, at least in this regard, like a regular person again, and that is absolutely priceless. If you are suffering the way I was, seriously, go see a doctor you trust, one who actually knows and understands what women go through and what we can do about it. Again, if you don't want hormone replacement therapy, go for something else. Literally, there are options. There are ways to approach this topic with somebody who knows what they're talking about. Yeah, I'm still dealing with a lot of other stuff. You remember, of course, mood swings, weight gain, thinning eyebrows, and the likes. So I have a feeling we will not be running out of topics to discuss anytime soon. Besides, you don't want to miss me swooning over Jon Bon Jovi and how pleased I am that he's been married for like 34 years. Plus, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, right? And here's my why, ladies. just in case it hasn't become clear in this episode so far, I want to create a platform that feels safe, that discusses topics that are not talked about much, that helps us to learn and grow, but also that lets us laugh at our younger selves and maybe our current selves a little bit too. If I can help even one woman realize that she's not alone, that yes, she may be crazy right now, but that's normal and it will pass, then I will consider this podcast a success. So here's what you can do to help. The internet, as you know, is a vast ocean. I am but a little droplet. To grow, I can and will, of course, promote and boost posts on social media. But the biggest and best way for a podcast like this one to grow is by, number one, receiving 5-star ratings by my listeners. I'm doing the little heart shape with my hand. Number two, being shared by listeners with their friends who may need to hear my message as well. And three, by downloading rather than to just listen to the episode, that will also help me go up in those algorithms. So do one of these things or do all three of them. Your help is and always will be immensely appreciated. And to help me offset the cost of this production, go check out my Etsy shop, of course, and order your pre- or custom-made hand-stamped bracelet. I thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the Gen X Lady podcast. I'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 2. Bye!